We began speaking yesterday about the concept of nigud versus chisaron, where nigud means where it's a posel or a poter in a positive sense, and it undermines the whole situation, whereas we have something like eino bechlal, someone or something that's not even included at all. It's command lesser dummy. It's as if it doesn't exist. There's no positive. It's just the absence of something. And for example, when it comes to challah, we can speak about gilgul on the part of a guy. We could say that gilgul on the part of a guy is nothing. It's command lesser dummy. But if the Jew puts it into the oven, that's enough to be mechayev in challah. On the other hand, if it was hegdesh at the time of gilgul, that's a poter. That's a poser. In a positive sense. We can talk about the Avera of Bal Yerov Bayimotzi in Chometz, which we didn't mention yesterday.
Right.
And we could speak about whether or not the ownership of a Goy or a Hegdesh removes Bal Yerov Bayimotzi, or it's just the absence of Bailus Hamachayeves. And we could talk about the Shechit of a Goy. Is that a positive posel, like the case of Shochat L'Shem Nahar, or is it just the absence of a Shechita, the guy's command, the lesser dummy? We spoke also about Avod Al Yedei Zar, raising the possibility that in the case in the Sugya Menachos of Blila, the Zar's Blila is actually a Blila Poselis, and it completely removes the kashrus of the Minch. We also have a Machlokas on this question about the avod of a zar, whether it's a nigud and a posel, or whether it's just a chisaron and a heder, in a sugya in Zvachim, on Daf Tezvav, where there's a case where holicho zar, so the one of the avodas is holacha, meaning after the dam was received, you have to bring it to the mizbeach, and the kohen took it from the zar, and then he brought it back a second time around. And the Gemara records machlokas, whether or not in this case, the holocha of a zar is a holocha haposelis. It all depends on how you define zar. We also have a Gemara in Yuma with regard to sidur hamaroch al gavi mizbeach. Let's say the zar went ahead and he did the sidur marocha. Then what does the kohen have to do? He has to be porek, he has to take it off the mizbeach. Bechozer v'sidra. And then he puts it back on to the Mizbeach. And the Migdash David, which you'll see here on page Kuf Mem Vav on the right side, he discusses the possibility that the Eitzim themselves that are on the Marochas are not considered disqualified as a result of the fact that the Tzar did the Avod of Sidur HaMarocha, and therefore could be very possible that the Eitzim remain in a state of what we call Kedushas Damim, and that Kedushas Damim is not removed, or there's no psul, but the Kohen would now have to reorganize the Sidur HaMarocha. Then we had a long discussion yesterday about the psul of Nashim for Edus and Dayonus, and we suggested the possibility that an Isha is just a chisaron, she's not an aid posel, and therefore if she joins up with a cat of Edom Cherim, then she's commander lesser dummy. We consider as if she wasn't part of the cat, and she doesn't posel the cat under the law of Nimtza Echanem Karavu posel. Alternatively, you could say that an Isha does have a shame aid, and she posels, and that's why she could possibly be posel le'inyin Din, meaning to be a Dayan, and Tosus Anida addresses this question. He says, in Tomare Isha Ksheir Ladun, Kirchsiv Bidvora Vehisho Fetus Es Yisrael, Ba'isahi. And Tosus answers, no, that she really wasn't a shofetes, she was only giving background and guidance to the shoftim, to the dayanim, but she herself was not shofetes, because since she's excluded from edus, she's also excluded from dayanus. So it could be that, according to Tosus, women, even though they're excluded from edus, they might be ksheros ladun. I mean, according to the first teretz in Tosus, they don't have the same status as men, Because when we say that a man, if he's posel yevus, he's posel adud, that's because he has a psul. But in the case of an isha, she doesn't have a psul, she's just a chisar and shaychus, she's not part of evus at all. Now what we want to start today is, Emirtz Hashem, a sugya in Bikurim. And this is going to be in the Rambam Perek Dal, Milchus Bikurim, and the Rambam makes a distinction between a ger and an isha. In the case of a ger, he can bring Bikurim, but that's not the Chiddush. The Chiddush of the Rambam is, he can also read the Parsha of Bikurim. Bikurim is not just the mitzvah havah, it's also the mitzvah of Kriya. Now, in the mitzvah of Kriya, the Torah says that you thank Hashem for giving me the land, that I brought the Bikurim from the land. And in terms of inheriting the land, we inherited the land from Avram Avinu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Kum Misalech Ba'aretz Le'or Kol Rochba. And we have a principle called Zchias Avos, that the Avos was Zoche on our behalf. In the case of a ger, it's hard to say that Eretz Yisrael Muchzekes Ilanu Me'avoseinu, because his father and his ancestry were not Jewish. They weren't from this lineage. But nevertheless, the Rambam says that a ger is mevi v'kore. In Halacha Beis, in the same Perek Dalet, the Rambam paskins that women are obligated in Havas Bikurim, but they don't have Kriya, because they cannot declare in the Kriya, Ha'aretz Asher Nosato Li, because the law is that a woman is not included in Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, she doesn't get a Nachla. And the question is, what's the difference between Gerim, where the Rambam says that the Ger is maybe Vikore, even though his grandfather was not part of the lineage that inherited the land, and yet an Isha Mevia Viena Kores, she cannot read. And he says, based on our distinction, we can come up with an answer to that question. In the case of a Ger, what we're saying is that his position vis-a-vis Nachla in Eretz Yisrael is radically, fundamentally different than the position of an Isha. Nashim were there at the time of Chalukas Haaretz, and now the Torah was Mafkia, the Torah says that they don't inherit the land. In the case of a Ger, his ancestors were not at the time, they weren't there at the time of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's not that they were apostle, they just weren't Shaykh. So that's another beautiful example of this distinction between a positive psul or a poter, as opposed to the absence and the non-existence in that category. And now we can talk about the case of women with regard to the mitzvah of Mila. And the question is, a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of Mila, neither vis-a-vis herself, nor vis-a-vis her son. And the Gemara establishes a Masechta Bava Kamma on Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph. This you'll see on the left side, on page Kuf Mem Zayin, Elameyatel Rabbanon, Yehei Eved Kosha Liedus, Tuxivi Hine Eid Sheker Ha'ed, Sheker Ina B'Achiv. In other words, the halacha of an Eved should be identical to the halacha of a regular Jew, of a Ben Chorin, and L'chora he should be kosher Liedus. Why? Because he has what's called achva, and therefore, since the Torah says eid sheker heid sheker ino biachiv, then whoever is included in biachiv is included in edus, and therefore an eved should be included in edus. Amar ula edus lo matzis amrit. I have a reason why the eved is excluded from edus. Asya edus become chom mi isha ma isha she reuya lava bekal. Psul aliedus, Eved she'eino roi, love of a call, eino din she'pasul aliedus. So now we have Ula telling us that an Eved is excluded from Eidus, and he derives it from Isha. And it's Kalachomer. An Isha situation is that much better and superior to that of an Eved, because an Isha is allowed to marry into the call, and yet the Torah excludes the Isha from Eidus. How then can we assume that an Eved who's excluded from love of Bakal, we're talking about an Eved Kanani, how could he possibly be included in Eidus? So the Gemara says, no, you can't derive it from Isha. Mali Isha Shekain Einaru Uyla Mila Tomer Bi Evetu Royla Mila. When it comes to an Isha, she doesn't have Mila. And therefore, that's why she can be Psula Liedis. Only someone who has the mitzvah Mila is considered part of the call, as far as Liedis. But in the case of an Evan, he has the mitzvah Mila, and therefore, there's a compelling logic to assume that he could be included in Liedis. So Tosis there, the Sugya in Hachovel, in Bava Kama, says, Afal Gav Delo Shaicha B'Mila. Even though you might ask, what do you mean? A woman is not excluded from Mila. There's no chiv of Mila at all. She's not in the parasha. So to say that that's why she's excluded from Eidus, and therefore justify the fact that we cannot derive conclusions from Eved from based on Isha, that's not fair. The reason why an Isha is excluded from Mila is because she simply is not in the parasha of Mila, if you know what I mean. She doesn't have Mila. So if you look at the Shita Mimetzis, he asks the same kash. He says, Afa gavdalo efshar. How can you derive anything from the fact that an Isha is excluded from Mila? In her case, it's lo efshar. Maybe she would have been included in Mila, but there's no Mila by a woman. Is Yeshlom Shal Tziva Kosel Lahatif Mimenadam Bris. So Rabbi Yeshaya, the Shita Mimetzis in Baba Kam, is famous for saying that Atofas Dam Bris is also a kind of Mila. It's not just Hasaras Ha'orla, but even Atofes Dam Bris. And the fact that a woman is excluded from Atofes Dam Bris, according to Rabbi Shaya, that means that there's a certain positive exclusion here, a poter, in the case of an Isha. And the Torah came along with Mafkia, an Isha, not just from Mila, but even from Atofes Dam Bris. And therefore we can, by analogy, equate an Eved to an Isha, and assume that just like an Isha's Psul Yedus, so to an Eved is Posel Yedus. Now, Vindira, he says, let's analyze Rabbi Yeshaya. According to Rabbi Yeshaya, in the Shittim Kubetzes, Benogel and Noshin, there's a difference between Mila and Atofes Dam Bris. That Enochinami, you couldn't prove anything from the fact that a woman is excluded from Mila, because she's not really excluded from Mila, she just doesn't have Mila. Right? Ein Shaychas Klal Adin Mila. But as far as Hatofas Dam Bris is concerned, we could have a Hatofas Dam Bris in the case of an Isha, but since women are exempt from this mitzvah, therefore we cannot allow them, you know, they don't have to be victimized in this way. He says, Lachain, La'arav Rabbeinu Yeshaya, Pircha B'Gemara Eina, Ela Me'atofas Dam Bris, V'lo Mi'mitzvahs Mila. In other words, in the case of Mila, she's not shayach to the mitzvah of Mila, but in the case of Hatofas Dam Bris, she could be shayach to the Hatofas Dam Bris. Again, I'm not sure exactly how you would do Hatofas Dam Bris in the case of Mila. Hatofas Dam Bris means that in Bioso Mokum, you have to take out a drop of blood, just a drop of blood. In Noshim Einim Shayachas the mitzvah Mila, you can't ask kashas from Mila. That maybe a woman is excluded from Eidus because she's excluded from Mila. She's not really excluded from Mila. She just doesn't have the possibility of Mila. And he says that Reb Chaim Brisker in his stencils, you know, these are not Reb Chaim's handwriting, but his Chidushim al-Shas, he also raises this entire question. How can you prove anything from the fact that a woman is excluded from Mila? She's not really excluded from Mila. And if you turn to page Kuf Mem Ches, he writes, Leman de Yolf mi va'osa, in the parasha of Avram and Sarah, it has an extra word oso velo osa, and that's excluding a woman from the mitzvah of Mila. But as far as bris is concerned, it says v'ata es brisi tishmar, and therefore since it says b'loshen zochar is isha lav bas bris, she's not included in the bris. So you see from Shas that the mitzvah of Mila, a woman is not excluded from, she just doesn't have the shaychus to it. But in the case of Hatofas Dam Bris, there a woman could be included, but the Torah says V'osa, the Torah says V'atas Brisi Tishmar, to exclude a woman. Ela D'ein Shaych B'mitzvah Mila, Avomi Brisi Mufkas, that's already Afka, that's already a Nigut, that's already a positive exclusion, V'lobas Bris. And therefore, when the Gemara assumes that if a woman is excluded from Mila, she's likewise excluded from from Eidus, which doesn't apply in the case of an Eved, then that Gemara is based on Hatofes Tam Bris. That with regard to Hatofes Tam Bris, she is considered Mufkas. That's the key word. In other words, the Torah excluded her from Hatofes Tam Bris. Now the next piece is based on the Raavad. You remember that we mentioned the Raavad yesterday, that the Raavad holds that a person is either a Baal Dovar or is Miose Dovar. Do you remember my mashal yesterday, John? That he's either sitting in the audience or he's on stage?
Right.
That was just my mashal. So the Raavad wants to suggest that when the Gemara establishes Mekayme Dovar HaKosav Medaber, it means that a Nogea Bedover, let's say the Rotzeach or the Nirzach, he himself is not considered included in Eidus. He's not in Eidus at all. It's not like the case of Nimtza Echad Mehem Karav Apostle. There's no psul over here. But rather, he's not part of the Kat. He's Osei Dovar rather than Mekayme Dovar. V'nira, if you take a look at the last paragraph on the left side of the bottom, he says, V'nira d'shitas harayvid nivnes al havona sheyesh hevdel bein psul liedus ubein mishenu shayach liedus. With regard to a psul liedus, that's a psul. That's a, you know, it's like you have a negative X sign on your body. And mishenu, right, and therefore we apply the principle of edish and bala miktos and bala kula, because the posel now passes the entire kat. But now we have a different category of someone who's not shaykh to Eidus. He's not, or in this case, she's not in, an Eid apostle, but rather she's not included in Eidus at all. Now, what's the nafkamina between saying somebody's an Eid apostle and saying that he's not included in Eidus at all? So, nafkamina number one is going to be whether you apply the principle of Nimtza Echemem Karav Apostle, Kula B'Talim. If you hold that she, for example, in the case of Anisha, is not shayach to Eidus, then you don't apply the din of psul. You know, if an elephant came into Bezdin, that would not make him into an Eid apostle, if you follow what I mean. But he has another nafkamina, based on a sugya in Makas Daf Zayin. This is the famous sugya of Tuvia, of a person who is a cosigner. That's called an arev in Hebrew. Tuvia nilah. So this is a sugya in Makas Daf Zayin, and they signed as Arevim on a Shtar Chov. Now, what happens is that if the Malva has a claim against the Lova, the Arev is going to have to fill in for the Lova, and he's going to have to pay the loan in event that the Lova, if the Lova cannot pay the Chov, that's what's called in fancy English, he defaults, then the Malva has recourse to collect from the Arev.
Yeah.
Okay, so now if Tuvia or Ilah, who are a Ravim on the Chov, want to come and testify about the Chov, then that's what's called Ogam the Eidus. And it works in both ways. If they want to testify that the Lova owes the money to the Malva, so then in this, I'm sorry, let's start the other way. This is the easy case. If they want to testify that the Lova already paid up the Chov, then clearly they have to give the Eidus because they're a Ravim. And if they can establish that the Lova paid up, then the Malva no longer has recourse to collect for the Lova. If, on the other hand, you have a situation where the Ravim want to testify that the Lova is obligated in the Chov, meaning he hasn't paid back the Chov, then in that case, you know, let's start again. In the first case, they testify that it was paid up. That takes them off the hook. If in the second case, the loan was not paid up, then they might be on the firing line as a Ravim to have to pay. So he says the following. The Gemara establishes that Ilah and Tuvia cannot testify, we cannot accept them as valid witnesses. And why is that so? Because Ilesle Lelova, if the Lova doesn't have money to pay, which the Arevim are testifying that he does have to pay, but if he doesn't have to pay, I'm sorry, if he doesn't have money to pay, then Basa Areva Azil, the Malva is going to go knocking on the door of the Arev. So therefore, if the Arev testifies what's the case he's talking about? Ilesle liarev. If the Arevim want to testify that the money was paid up, for example, they have an agia be'edus, because if the money wasn't paid up,
they owe
that money, and they owe that money in a case where the lover defaults on his chov. So the Rosh asks the question, I don't get it. Madua lo amrinon palgina dibura. Why can't we accept the testimony of the law in Tuvia as far as the lova is concerned, to the effect that the lova has not yet paid up his chov, and he has to pay? But as far as themselves are concerned, they're not believed. So we have a perfect case of palgina dibura. And on this we have the Ravid. This is where the Ravid says his shtickle Torah. Let me just have the Ravid shtickle Torah. So the Ravid wants to say the following: that when we apply the principle of Eidush and Batla Miktsas and Batla Kula, that's only in a psul kurva mamish, when you have an actual psul, and that's what we say, that Nimsa Echemer Karvkol, it's the whole kat is Batla. Now, when do we apply the principle of Palgina Dibura? So let's read the language. He says, Yesh mitaratzim lo dami, the hasam anan sahadi, the achiyu ve'gavra, o lemifsele kasi, hilchuk bi'edus ha-sheke, bi'ikara edus, shehem omrim, she-nirva, o rova, o shalava, o ma'o hilve, beribis, is then ne'amonim. Then they should be believed. Do you see that inside, Alan? You have the pages from yesterday, or...?
I did, but I can't pull it for right now.
Yeah, you didn't bring it.
Yeah.
Okay, no, because I wanted to show you the language inside. I don't have time now to photocopy it. But let's understand, why is it that we cannot apply the principle of Palgina Dibura in this case of the Arev, who's Pasul Lagabi himself,
right?
Okay, but on the other hand, he should be capable of testifying on behalf of the Malva or the Lova in such a way that we won't believe him if it's relevant to him. So, for example, if he says the Lova paid up the Chov and he wants to get himself off the hook, we cannot believe him. I mean, that's clear that he's an Ogei B'Eidus.
Right.
But if, on the other hand, he testifies in a way that he's not an Ogei B'Eidus, for example, if we apply the principle Palgina Dibura, in which case he cannot testify about himself, so anything that he testified in Beis Din that's relevant to himself is completely command the lesser dummy. It's as if he didn't say anything. So why then can't the Lova Tuvia testify on behalf of the Malva that the Lova hasn't paid up? Has he yet paid up his chov? The Yesh Metarsim Dlo Dami.
Where is that exactly?
This is on the left column on Kuf Mem Ches. It's about five lines down from the top. Do you have it? Yesh Metarsim. Okay? So this is the Rosh in Perek Bav Metzia. He doesn't tell you what Perek it's in. And the Rosh says, Yesh mitaratzim lo dami. Hasam hani sahadi lachiyu ve'gavro lemifsalei ka'asi hilkak v'ikar ha'edus shehem omrim sherova o shalova v'ribis ne'monim. In a case where they're testifying against someone that he is guilty of an illegal criminal act, then he could be believed. And if he includes himself in the criminal act as if he was a participant, then we don't believe him. He's testifying against himself. But here we have something else entirely. Because in the case of Arevim, he says, Kol Eidushim Batla Miktsasim Batla Kula is Psul Kurva Batela Kula. So if you're a relative, it's completely batel. And we don't apply the principle of Palgina Dibura. So this is very interesting.
There's one other fellow in this particular case, and that is each orev is responsible for the loan if the loaner doesn't pay. So if one of the orevim is willing to testify, and he knows he doesn't have any money to pay, he's putting it all on the other orev anyway.
Right, but why can't the Avim, the Arevim, be believed to say that the loan was paid up?
Paid up, of course they're not believed.
That's for sure, don't get me.
Yeah, that's for sure, there's no question about it. But even if they say he owes the loan,
right,
that the loan owes the loan, he's not now, because he knows he's not a good heir or because he doesn't have any money now. So he knows it's all going to go on his chaver anyway.
Is that what the rabbi is saying, though?
I don't know. No, I'm just saying that's my
other question. So I just want to spend it just
to see what the rabbi is saying.
Yeah, because the rabbi is building a whole derech halimut, so to speak, on this chiddush. And I'm trying to work out the words of the Raven. Again, the hesbet of the Raven is on the bottom paragraph. You'll see Vindira. But we want to read the words of the Raven to see if it justifies the Vindira. So a Raven's al-kosa b'tshuvosav shekol eva shebotla b'tzosa machmas psul kurva botla kula v'lo palginin dibura. So let's say, for example, the witness testifies on something that's relevant to both his karov and to somebody else who's not a karov. Can we accept his edus through palgina dibura as far as someone who's not a karov? And the rabbi says no. Why? Because since as far as this edus is concerned, which has two parts to it, right? There's the malva and the lova, or the rove and the nirva. And with regard to one part of it, he is a karov. Then we apply the principle of butla mitzasa butla kula. His entire avis now, as one entity, becomes an avis bipsul kurva.
Right.
To lo polig behu rachmona diomer mashnaim nimsa echemem karva pasul edusim betela af shlosha is alma lo palginen edusam. We can't split an avis into two. V'hod yomar Adam Karvitz al Atzmo, Veno the Mason Matzo Rosh and Dafkik Shemed al Atzmo, She'ein Ze Edus Klal. If he's testifying on himself, what we call self incrimination, then he's not believed at all. Kimisha Eno Domi.
But what you're saying, but saying that you owe the money is not a Mason Matzo Rosh.
Just one second. Did I mention Eno the Mason Matzo Rosh?
You just said that, yeah.
Oh, I did say it?
Yeah.
Did he? Again, I'm trying to read his language. If you could help me with the language, I just want to... He says that if he's a karov, then we apply the principle of Eidushin Batla Miktasa Batla Kula.
Correct?
Right. Okay, now we get to the case where not that he's a karov, but he's a karov to himself. So what does the Raven mean when he says that in such a case we cannot apply the principle of palgina dibura? He says that mashnayim nimsa echad mem karov apostle edusan betela af shlosha is alma lo palginon edusam. That's why do I care about the third testimony?
And he's just saying that you can't do that because if you have three witnesses,
right,
and where normally the halacha would be is echad is pasul, pasul kat. So you say, why don't you always say pasul ibur? Get rid of the one that that is pasul, and we don't accept what he says, and we accept what they say. But that's not really a din of pasul ibur.
I thought what he's saying about Palgina Dibura is that if he's testifying about two participants, let's say in a criminal act, and he, the aide, is a karov to one of them, at least let it be believed as far as the other participant in this criminal act, because he's not related to him. And here's where the Raven coins a very interesting concept called Batla Miktasa Batla Kula, that since we cannot accept his aidus as far as his karav is concerned, then we throw out his entire edus.
Right.
But if that be the case, then what about Palgina Dibura? So when do you apply the principle of Palgina Dibura? That's not clear to me. He says, is Alma lo Palgina e Duso? You could say Palgina Dibura, but you can't say Palgina e Duso. And then he says,
right, that makes sense. That's correct. See, that's what I was going to say, but that's not Palgina Dibura. It isn't. That's Palgina e Duso. It's a different concept.
Oh. So when do we say Palgina Dibura? V'hodi Omar Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo. So he wants to testify against the Rovea.
Right.
Let's say. Is V'ein on the Mesim Atzmo Rasha. So we don't believe on himself that he's the Nirva. Haine Dafka Kishameir Al Atzmo.
Right.
Ah, I see.
Right.
When do we apply Bala Mitzasa Bala Kula? That's only when there is an Eidus. Let's say vis-a-vis the Love, he's a Karov, or vis-a-vis the Nirva, he's a Karov. He's possibly Eidus. So that undermines his entire Eidus, because then he'd have to accept half of his Eidus, and we can't do that. There's a principle called Pagidim. I'll tell you when Pagidim replies, says the writer. That applies in a case where a person is testifying about himself as a participant in this Aveira. Ploni Ravani. Here's where we're allowed to say that Palgina Dibura, and we don't say Batla Miktasa Batla Kula.
No, but then
why
no,
not?
No, that's no good, because that's when it ain't other Mizimas Asma Rasha.
No, but the question is, so why do I accept his Aedis as far as the Rovei is concerned? Why do I say Palgina Dibura?
Yeah.
Why not apply the principle of Batla Miktasa Batla Kula? So again, if he had testified about a Rovei and a Nirva, and he was a carve to one of them, we throw out the entire Aedis.
Right.
We're not going to say Palgina Dibura and accept him at least as far as the Rovea is concerned. But in a case where he says Ploni Ravani, then we believe him, together with another aid, against the Rovea. What's the difference between the two cases? So the Rambam says, in the first case we apply Batla Miktasa Batla Kula,
right.
And in the second case we don't apply Batla Miktasa, we apply Pagim Dibur, but why not?
Because of the principle of Ein Adam Esim Asras Rasha, we don't believe that he's guilty of that. And if he's a perfectly good aid, he's not possible.
So again, you're missing the breakthrough here in the Raven. That's what, again,
yeah,
if you can give me 5 minutes here,
right.
Inside the text, I'll tell you, because the Raven is presenting a major breakthrough here.
Okay, I'll listen more carefully. Yeah.
So listen to what the Raven says. He says the following, that in the case of Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo,
correct.
When he's saying Ploni Ravani, Ein Zu Eidus Klal, this is the Raven.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
Ein Zu Eidus Klal, and it's not the pshat that he's a karov, and there's an aid posel who's testifying about the nirva as a psul aid, as an aid posel that, and then we would jump to the conclusion that Batla Miktasa Batla Kula can't even testify against the rovea. No, Ein Zu Eidus Klal. When he tells the story, about himself. Not that we don't believe that it's very possible that he was the nirva. I'm not questioning that. But what I'm saying is that what he says about himself, that's not called Eidus. And
why?
Look at the next four words. Ella Kimisha Eino Domi. It's as if he didn't say anything.
Why?
It's not Eidus.
Why?
Because he's going to say, Dami Elohadi Amrinon Le'el, meaning in the Gemara on Daf Vav, he's on Daf Zayin already. Demakaime Dovra Kosuv Adav. The Gemara asks, why can't the Rotseach passel up the Eidim, because he saw the Eidus. Why can't the Nirtzach passel up the Eidus? Because of Nirtzach and Mekar passel. My answer is, B'makayme Dovra Kosev Medaber. That when are you considered an Eid passel? That's if you're Makayme Dovra. But not Ose Dovra. But if you're part of the action itself, then you cannot be an Eid. Why can't the Oreg himself, the Torah's no Gabi Eidus, why can't he passel up all the other Eidim? There may be 1,000 Eidim, they're all passel. The answer is, Bipnei, since he's not an Ein at all, right, he's not Mimakaimi Dover, is Ein Ani Korebo Batla Miktasa Batla Kula. Hachanami, here he wants to say the same thing. That if he's testifying about himself that he was the Nirva, and he's also testifying at the same time about the Rovea, is in this case, Ein ani korebo edus shebatla miktsasa batla kula. Here I can apply the principle of palgina dibura. Why? Because as far as himself is concerned, that's not edus. The ein alav shame eid klal. Unbelievable. It's like Reb Chaim was speaking.
So, but you're saying then that a lova cannot testify that he owes the money.
Well, that's a different alav. That's called odas bal din. Well, but he certainly, v'taras edus, he's completely excluded. Can he testify about the malveh, right?
Yeah.
And the answer is that yes, he could testify about the malveh because he's not a karev to the malveh. And even though he's testifying that the malveh borrowed money from himself, that's not called edus at all. What you say about yourself is not included in the pasuk of Al Pishnaim Adam Yakum Dover, because Yakum Dover is referring to those who are Makaime Dover, not to the Osei Dover.
Can he testify on other things? Can he testify, for instance, can he testify that his bris was not a kosher bris?
Well, that's not Dini Mummins. For that,
I want to get out of the Dini Mummins
right,
for a minute.
Right. For that, you would need you'd probably need Eidus Mamish.
So because that's not an Indian.
Like for example, the Gemara Yevamos has a case where a person comes forward and he says that he's a god.
Yeah.
Is he believed to say that he's a god? So if he has a Cheskas Yisrael, then you need two Eidim in order to be that's called a Dovish Merav in order to testify that he's not Jewish.
But it's not because of Eino Damasim Mesim Russia.
Well, again, Eino Damasim Matzah Russia is not a psychological principle according to the Raifid. Whenever the Gemara is applying Eino Damasim Matzah Russia, it means that you're an Osei Dover and not your Makame Dover. So self-incrimination is excluded according to the Raifid in Halacha because the Halacha doesn't recognize Eidus in the case where you testify about yourself.
Period.
That's not called Eidus.
Period.
Now I can apply Palgina Dibura, and I don't have to apply Miktasa Butla Kula, and I can believe him as far as the other participant, the other partner in this crime. You know?
No matter whether it's Dini Pashas or Dini Mamonis. Is that correct?
That's an interesting question. I don't know enough about that because in Dini Mamonis we have a principle, Shalom Tinol Delos Mifnei Lovin. So I don't know how that kicks in, but let's assume that whether it's Dini Mominus or Dini Nefashis, that seems to be clearly indicating that we're talking about Dini Mominus. And in Dini Mominus, whatever you say about yourself is not Eidus, and the Nafkamina is that you can be believed as far as the Malv is concerned. Okay, then. So let's see how the Ravid is going to help us understand the sugya of Ilah V'Tuvia. In the case of Ilah V'Tuvia, there's only one Eidus. There's only one Eidus. It's the Eidus is on the Chiyuv Halova, whether he has to pay the Malva or not. And in that case, the Arevim cannot be Mekayme Dover because they're part of the Osei Dover. Because if you testify against the Lova, then you're also testifying at the same time against the Arev, or the Arevim in this case.
And if you testify with the Lova, then it's because you're a Nogeva Dover.
And Nogeva Dover, according to the approach of the Ravid, Nogeva Dover doesn't mean that therefore Eidus Shabbatla Miktasa Batla Kula. If you're Nogeva Dover, it's very possible that in certain cases at least, you're considered the Osei Dover, not the Mekayme Dover. But if on the other hand you have vested interests and you're not one of the Osei Dover, then Eino Chinami, in such a case, according to the Ravid, since you're an Eid Apostle, we would apply the principle of Batla Miktasa Batla Kula. So it's quite possible that we could argue that in the case of an Arev, he's called an Ogeya Bedover, he's not the Osei Dover. And as an Ogeya Bedover, he's completely excluded from Eidus. We don't say Batla Miktasa Batla Kula because he's an Eid Apostle. But the very moment he testifies about himself, then we can apply the principle of Palgina Dibura, and we're not going to apply the principle of Bala Miktasa Bala Kul, because that which he testifies about himself is not considered testimony
right.
at all.
But no matter which way he testifies against or for the Lova, he's puzzled for it. Because if he says the Lova owes the money, then he's trying to get off the hook himself and say, right, the Lova should pay. If he says the loafer paid the thing, then he's claiming he doesn't owe the money.
So if he claims that the loafer owes the money, that's a little bit more complicated.
Because
why not believe him as far as the mouth and the loaf is concerned without believing him as far as the Arev is concerned? And the Rav is going to answer, because the din of the Arev is the same din as that of the loafer.
Right.
And any testimony on that halva, by definition, he's
puzzled for that.
He's excluded.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So that's why they're saying both ways he'd be puzzled.
Okay, now at this point, I photocopied for you pages Kuf Lamed Daled, and let's introduce this new mafteach, you know, this new key to analyze sugyas and shas. We have two ways of replacing something that's lost. And I'll explain what I mean as I go along. One way to replace it is to replace it, literally a replacement. The other way is to say, no, it cannot be replaced. But there is an obligation to compensate a person for what is lost. Does that make any sense to you? Probably not.
No.
Okay, so as we go along through the cases, hopefully it'll make a lot more sense. But again, in any type of payment, like for example in Ezekiel, I damaged you, so now I have to replace what I damaged. Let's say in mitzvahs, I did not daven mincha at a certain time, so now I have to replace that mincha with a tashlumen. In all of these cases, we have to ask the following chakira. What is the nature of that replacement? Does it mean that the original now exists? Like for example, in Hashavas Aveda, I give you back your object, so that's clearly a replacement. But in the case of the Zikin, I'm not giving you back your object. Your object is gone with the wind. So all I can do is pay you money. How do we define that payment of money? We'll see many nafkaminas. Do we define it as a tashlume hefsed, meaning I'm chayv to pay you because you took a loss? Or do we define it as Chalipe achefta? It's like a hashavas achefta. Again, it's not literally hashavas achefta, because I'm giving you money and you're not getting your cow back. Your cow is gone. I pushed it off a cliff. But now I give you enough money that you can buy the cow and you can replace the cow.
What's the difference between those two?
Oh, so let's take a look first in metaltolin, and then we'll get to Mishchem Karka and then to Chavol. In the case of metaltolin, there's a tremendous nafkamina. Let's say, for example, at the time of the Hezek, Tavrei Chavita de Chamer, he broke his wine, and at that moment, in the market, it would sell for five. Okay? Now, otherwise, it sells for four. And the Rambam is going to say that in such a case, that it was Shavet V'yom HaShuk Arba B'Shar Yom Shlosha, he says that if he pays him back at the time of the shuk, then he could pay him that lower fee. Whereas the Rush in Bava Metzia disagrees with the Rambam, and he says no. He says he has to pay him its value. What's the machlokas here? The Rambam on the one hand holds that I'm going to have to somehow replace the object that was lost. And the Rambam at the same time holds that by giving you kesef, because the object itself is lost, I am replacing the object. That's called hashava in the Rambam's frame of reference. What it means, hashava? Can I give you back the barrel that was broken, that was lost? No. But since I can give you back money, I have to give you back enough money that you can replace the barrel. Forget about what it was worth at the time that I broke the barrel. How much would it cost you today when I give you the money and pay you tashlum and ezekin? How much would that barrel cost to buy today? Well, let's say, for example, it was only four at the time of the nezek, but now it's five. So if I give you four, if the mazik pays the nezek four, he's not going to be able to replace it, and therefore the Rambam is going to require that you give him five. Mashenkin, according to the Rush, Alamazik l'shalem bi'ada hefsek klomar ha'mechir she'achovis ha'isashov biyom ha'nezek. In other words, I have to pay you So you have to add another element here. I think this is a little superficial, but you have to add the element that the Maisa Hezek is Machayev, and I'm not gonna replace the Hezek. I'm just gonna give you whatever I caused you a loss. So in other words, again, you have to add another element here. The Hefzed is, so to speak, frozen in stone, engraved in stone at the time of the Maisa Hezek. Do you hear that? There's a Maisa Hezek and there's a Hefzed. Forget about what happens after the passage of time. My chiyuv to compensate you is engraved in stone at the time of the Hezek. And I have to ask the question, what financial loss did you suffer? How much of a deficit is there in your total portfolio, in your bank account, as a result of that Hezek? And even if the object now goes up in value, that has nothing to do with me. I just have to give you the money that this chavis was worth at the time of the Hezek. That's the Rosh Hashita. The Rambam says, no. What good is it if he gives him dalet? Now he cannot replace his original chavis with dalet. He needs hay. So the first nafkamina to our chakira as to whether or not we're dealing with tashlume mamon as a chiyuv, or we're dealing with chalipin, so to speak, or hashava, replacing the object, is the case where in Nezikin there's some sort of discrepancy between the value of the object at the time of the Hezek, which generates the chiyuv to pay hefsed, or the chiyuv on the part of the mazik to replace the object, which is relevant to the time of the actual tashlume mamon. And the fact that now it went up in value is going to be very relevant if I need to replace the object, because the money that I pay you is going to be a vehicle, a means to replace the object. So I have to look at how do we replace the object today. If, on the other hand, the Maisa Hezek that I caused you generates a certain Chiyuv Tashlume Nezikin to offset the Hefzed that you suffered at the time of the Hezek, then if it was a Hefzed at the time of the Hezek of... You see, you could imagine a middle Shita. He doesn't have this, but you could imagine a Shita that would say that I have to compensate you, but the moment of compensation is the moment of Tashlume Moment, not the moment of Nezek. His premise is, based on this Rosh, that the Maisa Hezek generates a Chiyuv of Tashlume Hefzed, and that Chiyuv of Tashlume Hefzed is frozen at the moment of the Maisa Hezek.
Doesn't it seem that the Rosh is saying that is that the moment of the Hezek is that you're hired to pay him, and now this is basically like Halva. That you owe him the money. You owe him the money.
You have an outstanding chob.
Yeah, that was
it. The Rambam is Mechadish, no, I have to replace
him. According to the Rosh, then it would be usher to actually pay him the higher amount, because that would be ribbis.
Yeah, okay, that you have to know more about ribbis, but he says the second afkimino is the issue of the Machne Ephraim. That's on the top of your page, Kuf Lamed Hey. What was the suffix of the Machne Ephraim? Let's say he's a chayfet shal yeshav v'boses shal hay v'akach b'shas piron huzal. Now it's only worth four. You know, before we spoke about a case where to replace it, you'd have to shell out five. Now we're talking about deflation or depreciation. So now, if you want to replace it, all I have to give you is four.
According to the Rambam.
Oh, if it's replaced.
Right.
So he says, let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Sfiros, and the Rambam seems to imply that in such a case, Yesh lehem l'shalem chavish shal yayin. I have to just pay you for a chavish shal yayin. Now a chavish shal yayin sells for four. When I destroyed it, it was worth five. Everything depends upon the moment of hachzora or hashava. And if the cow or the barrel was intact, I would give you the barrel. Now I have to give you the money that will replace this barrel, so that now I'm giving you the barrel. I can't say I'm giving you the barrel if I give you less.
But you can give him the barrel, no?
Yeah, no. I'm saying if the barrel is there, then the chiyuv kuliyamalo please a chiyuv of hashava. Hashava means to fill in for the loss. But if the barrel is gone, right, and...
But you have the right to give him an equivalent barrel.
That I don't know. That has to do with Meitav. That's a sugya called Meitav.
So that wouldn't just be a
Shava Kesav. I don't know. But The question here is, let's say I'm paying you with money, correct? And now you don't need that full price that it was worth at the time of the hezek in order to replace it. You can get away with a cheap deal.
Right.
Why? Because the value of this object on the market has depreciated. So the Rambam says, now I can give you the dollar and point it off on you. On the other hand, if you hold that the rush, that the chiyuv is because I caused you a hefsed, and I got to pay up that hefsed, that chiyuv is engraved in stone at the moment of the hefsed, and if at that point I destroyed a chavis of yours that was worth five, that's what I have to pay. Now he goes on to the discussion about karka. This is fascinating. This, by the way, is Rav Chaim in Hilchas Toin V'Nitan, Perkei Halach and Dalet. And to the best of my knowledge, there's no one who is as original on this area as Rav Chaim. This is Mamish Rav Chaim's breakthrough in Lomdus here. This is a great example, this Rambam in Hilchas Toin V'Nitan. And Rav Chaim in his Sefer, this is in the Sefer Perkei, speaks about it. Here's the case. If I destroy your karka, and you, the Bala karka, the Nizak, claim that I owe you 50, because the karka that I destroyed was to the tune of 50. And I, as the Mazik, deny the 50, and I say, I only was Mazik you 25. So, Lachor, that's a classical case of Motiv Miktas, but there's a rule of Amish Bayan ala Karkos. So the Machlokas Rambam and Raivin in this particular case, whether or not you can be Machayev him, you the Mazik, the Nizak, the Toveh can be Machayev the Mazik, a Shvua. The Rambam says he's only Chayev a Shvuas Heseis Dirabonim, which means that every case of Kofra Kol has to take a Shvua Midirabonim. But on a derisa level, apparently the Rambam alleviates the nitba, the mazik, from any chiyuv shvua, and the Raivid disagrees. And according to the Raivid, this is a case of metaltalin. Why is it a case of metaltalin? The karka is gone already; it's been destroyed. Now the mazik has to pay domin, and how much domin does he have to pay? Well, the mazik says, I only have to pay 25. The Nizik says you have to pay me 50. Says the Rambam, that's a Shmu Doraisa of Modu Miktas. Why does the Rambam say, therefore, that it's only a Shmuas Heseis?
It's because it seems to me that because the usual case of Modu Miktas it also depends on Ein Adam Mezius Mezius Panav Ibnei Panav Ovre. But this was not a case where he did a Mataiva. He didn't do him any time that he owes him the 25.
Well, no. Any time that I owe you money, for whatever reason, the tov or not the tov, if I agree to half that chov and I deny the other half, there's a svara called the shtamutik of shtam. I'm not going to go into that now, but that's the din of shvuas modu miktas. Modu miktas is not limited to a case where somebody did someone a tova. Whenever you have a tvi of a certain sum of money, we'll call it X, if I, as the nitba, agree that I owe you half of that sum, but I deny the other half, I have to take a shvuas modu miktas. So therefore, the Ravid's logic is very compelling. The Ravid says that the Mazik is demanding 50, and the Nizak says, I only owe you 25. Let him take a Shvua Doraisa. Why does the Rambam alleviate him from a Shvua Doraisa?
Why should he have to take a Shvua Doraisa?
Because the question here is Domin.
Yeah, so
on Domin, there's always a Shvua Doraisa.
Why should I take a Shvua?
Because you were both of a Miktas.
I was only one of them, so what? He knew all along that I only owe 25, but he's asking me 50. So he's asking me 50 because he wants me loads of
the
Shvua.
You can ask that cash, the Gemara asks that cash on every mode of Mitzvah.
Yeah, but at least when you have other Taina there to say, ain't out of maze, so then there's something, a reason to believe that he's really lying. But
what's the Chiddush of Reb Chaim here? This is the breakthrough of Reb Chaim. We'll see this in Chavolah. Also, Reb Chaim develops this idea that the Rambam Shita, because the Rambam says that the reason why he doesn't have to take a Shmua here on a Deraisa level is because Einish Bon al Karkos. So the Ravid says, what do you mean Eidish Bon al Karkos? This is not a Tvias Karkos. He's being Tobey Adamim. The Kark is gone.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? The flood inundated the field and wiped it away. You know, it's gone. Gone with the wind. Gone with the water.
Right.
So Reb Chaim wants to say that the Rambam understands that in Nizke Karka, the halacha is that you have to replace the Karka. In fact, if I, again, don't quote me on this because I have to go through the Reb Chaim, but I think he says that the Mazik has to fill in the Karka. If the Nizak forces the Mazik to fill in the Karka, let's say he stripped a layer of the Karka, he would be able to force him to do that. But now the Karka is gone. So in such a case, he has to replace the Karka. How can you replace Karka that's gone? The answer is that the Damim is a Hashava. Hashava means it's a replacement.
Right.
If it's a replacement, then the argument here is over Karka. And Ein Ishmon ala Karkos. The Raven, on the other hand, holds no. The Chiv is a Chiv Damim. There was never a halacha formulated, a principle of halacha that if I was Masik your Karka, I have to replace the Karka. This halacha will have to pay you Tashlumei Damim. That's called a Chiv Tashlumei Damim, Tashlumei Masik. And on that we say that if he's a Modem of Mitzas, he has to take a Shmuel. And here we have the issue of Chovil B'Chavera. Right? The Chovil B'Chavera is chayv to pay Nezek, Tsar, Ripui, Shemes, and Boshes. With the exception of Nezek, they're all Chiyuvei Knats, meaning they're all Chiyuvim that have nothing to do with the value on the market that was lost over here. At least in the case of Nezek, you know, he can't work anymore, never he's out of job, or whatever it might be, but in Tsar, Ripui, Shemes, and all this, that's not... In any event, he says that there were two ways of learning the whole parak of Chovil and the Tashlumin of Chavol. He says that according to one understanding is that in the case of Chovel, he really has to replace the Nechbal, meaning he has to return the Nechbal to his original state. But that's Bilti Afshari, it's impossible, so he pays money. But the money is to replace the limb that was lost. And how do you replace a limb that was lost? That's Nezek Tzar, Ripui, Shemes, and Boshes. Other Rishonim say no. The Tashlum here of Chavolah is simply a Hefseg moment. I have to pay you for the Hefseg. Well, but I'm not replacing your limbs. And my Nafgemina. So he's got two major Nafgeminas here. One is on page Kuf Lamed Zayin, and the other on page Kuf Lamed Ches. On Kuf Lamed Zayin, he says, what's the deal in a Chavol Sheimbo Hefseg moment? Let's say he hits him in such a way that he doesn't lose anything, he can go back to work the next day, everything is fine. So according to a whole bunch of Rishonim, he still has to pay. The din is Chovil B'Chavero is Chayv and Ezekin, whether there is a Hefseg or there's not a Hefseg. But the Bali Atosis disagree, and they're of the opinion that the Chovel is off the hook if there was no Hefseg Mamon. Who's the parrot, the flag waver of the Shita that...
The champion.
The what do you say?
The champion of
that Shita that nevertheless, even though there was no Hefseg Mamon, he has to pay. That's going to be the Rambam, of course. Because the Rambam is always going to come up with this definition of replacement. Right, we'll see in Tashlumei Tefillah if the next Tefillah is a replacement for the first Tefillah, it's a separate Chiyuv Tashlumei. So the Rambam is in Perek Beis Mehilchos Chovel of Masik, and he says that actually you have to put together the Rambam in Perek Beis with the Rambam in Perek Dalet. I mean, if you combine the two together, and the Magid Mishnah points this out, then you end up with a case where the Chovel has to pay Tashlumei Chavola, even though the Nechbal did not suffer any loss. And the Tur agrees with the Rambam. As I get older in life, I see over and over again that the Tur agrees with the Rambam. And when he disagrees with the Rambam, that's when you want to open your eyes and it's always a brilliant, you know, Chakir that they're arguing about. He says the following: Nira Sharama Vatur Sovrim Shechavola Eino Midin Tashlumin Biad Hefse Amomli, but rather Sorech L'Shalim Kidei LaHoshiv Es Matzav Gufo Likad Muso V'Lafein Chayv L'Shalim Afilu K'she'Ein Hefse Amomli. For example, Im Yesh Mum B'Bosar, is then there's something that has to be paid. Again, there's no monetary loss in this case of a mum. The person is able to go to work, and what else can I say? There are no medical payments. What else am I missing? Anyway, the kids, there's no hefsek mumin, but now there's a mum. What would it cost? Again, you have to know with an Eved, you know, how to shots this up. That's going to be a second half community. How you shots it up, like an Eved Kanani, like an Eved Ivri. But whatever it is, you evaluate how much it would cost, so to speak, to replace that mum and bring the boss back to its kadmuso. But the Bali Atosa disagree with both the Ram and the Torah on this part, and they hold that there's no din of takonas hanezek, but rather there's a din of tashlume hefsed. And if there was no hefsed, there's no chiv tashlume. Now there's a long arichas here, but honestly, I didn't have the time to go through this. He's got a whole page just on this nekuda, on this point. But what I would like to call to your attention is the question of how do we shots up the tashlumin, whether it's like an eved ivri, or like an eved knani. Just 1 second. So this you'll see on page Kuf Lamed Vav. Okay. Now I told you there are two nafkaminas. He actually has a third nafkamina, which is a sugya in Bava Kama page Vav. He koal yoda mitzomsa v'sofa lachza. Okay, that's interesting. He has a chavola that's going to regenerate itself physically. So they have to pay tashlumi chavola for that. It's machlokas, I think, abayin v'rova. Just double check that. Yeah, it's machlokas abayin v'rova in Baba Kam.
But still, she has to pay sheves. Anyway,
abayin omer lo sein lo sheves, and Rava says ain't no sein. Oh, I'm sorry. Everybody agrees, like you said, Alan, that you pay Sheves. But Rava says, Ein lo elo dmei Sheves. So what's the machlokas here? 1 second. I don't have the Gemara in front of me, that's my problem. But I'll just try to do it in a very simple, superficial way. He koal yodav itzom tzom v'sofa latzar bayo v'nosin lo sheves gedola v'sheves ketana. Rav homar eir nosin lo el dmei shivto shevachol yom v'yom itmar kotei ayad evin ivri shel chavero bayo v'nosin lo sheves gedola v'sheves ketana. Rav homar kol yinosin lo evin v'yikach ben karka. This is already a din of the Kenyan Paris and Kenyan Aguf.
Right.
Again, according to Abaye, basically has to pay for Tikkun Nizokin. Was according to Rava, he pays the Evet. Sorry, I'm going to just leave that out. But let's talk about a different machlokas. That's on page Kuf Lamed Vav. Machlokas Shin Rashi in the Rosh with regard to Shumas Chavola. How do you evaluate Chavola? Dine Nizke Chovel. Is it Kevin Ivri or is it Ki Eved Knani? And he says the following. In the case of an Eved Ivri, he's only sold for 6 years, whereas an Eved Kanani is sold until death do us part, till the Yovel. So he says the following: Eved Ivri Elo shuva li mocher li olam lahafsid lo b'shuma zos reho yachol limkars atzmo l'sheish. So he says, Barur sheyesh avdelim bein mechiras eved ivri l'mechiras eved knan. Eved knani nimkar li olam, eved ivri rak l'sheish. Eved ivri also lavod ba'avoras parach, masha enkein eved knani. L'shitas ha-rosh, Eich efshal lomash ha-nizak hifsid mamon shal mechiras eved knani, hari ha-nizak hu ben chorin. There's a paradox here. The Rosh says that we're going to evaluate nizkei chavola in terms of mechiras eved knani, which is obviously a much higher rate than an eved ivri. And the Pella is, the Nizak himself is not an Eved, he's a Ben Chorin. So in what sense is this a valid or a just compensation? Tzorach Lomar, Shashuma hi lahashiv chelik mi gufo shachasar. In other words, we're not going to analyze it in terms of how much money he lost. There's going to be a whole different way of analyzing it. It's as if he's replacing the guf. And the din establishes, again, this is already a gzeres hakosev, I guess, that if you want to replace the guf, then there's a separate halach of shuma. And it's not the normal classical shuma to figure out how much he lost. It's a brand new kind of shuma. Ro'en oso ke'ilu hu eved ha'nimkar b'shuk. Now that's not the hefsed of the nechbal, because the nechbal is a ben chorin, he's not an eved. So he can't be sold by an eved. So he can't talk in terms of eved nimkar b'shuk as an umdana, as a way of shatzing up the hefsed shal nechbal. That can't be true. Ela shezeh derech loshum shavius ha'ever. Again, you have to understand why. Why when you're shatzing up the shavius of the Eiver, you do it by an Eved Knani, maybe because an Eved Knani is Yotzei B'Shem. I don't know. Shechosa al yidei chavola. V'Rashi cholek al ha-Rosh. Rashi disagrees with the Rosh. And l'shitas Rashi tzok l'shalim etzem hefseid ha-momen l'nechbal. Me'ach sh'nechbal hu ben chorin, then you can only shatz it up as if he was an Eved Ivri nimkar b'shuk. And then he has tashlumim b'tfila. So, for example, what happens if he misses tfilas musaf? So Tosus says in Masechet Brachos that he doesn't replace musaf. Vivadi eno mispal arvish shtayim dehech yikra karbonos. How can he read the karbonos of musaf? It's arvish mano batal karbono. It's already after Shabbos, after Yontif, after Rosh Chodesh, whatever it is. He can't recite the karbonos. So the whole essence of the Karban Musaf is to bring the Karbanos. Now already it's too late. Amar Zmanah Batal Karbano. The Meiri, on the other hand, the Masechta Brachos, has a different view. And he brings down a Shita that maybe there is Tashlumin from Musaf, even after the time of the Karban. So what's the machlokas? The Bali Atosis think that Tashlumin is a replacement. And it can't be a replacement for Musaf when it's already too late for Karban Musaf. Masha Enkein, according to the Meiri, they hold that there's a special din of X number of Chiyuvei Tefillah during the day. And if you miss that Chiyuv Tefillah, we give you an Onas Mukul, we give you a possibility of doing Tashlumin. And Tashlumin is not a replacement, but rather it's a separate Chovas Tefillah in order to make sure that you reach your quota of Tefillahs for the day. And the second Afkamini is going to say, let's say somebody forgot Mincha on Shabbos. Now the whole essence of Tefillahs Mincha on Shabbos is all about Shabbos, and now Motzi Shabbos he's going to daven what kind of Meir Ves Tashlumin? A Tefillahs Chol, no mention of Shabbos whatsoever. So there's a whole bunch of Rishonim who say that in such a case there is no Tashlumin. And Tosus is racking his brains. How could it be that the Gemara assumes that there is Tashlumin in that case? How are you going to replace a Shabbos Dikat Tefillah with a Chol Dikat Tefillah? He says the answer is no. because on Shabbos itself you can be yotze mikra din before the takhana with a tefillas arvus. The whole long, the whole shini and nusaf, that was done because of the mitzvah of kvod Shabbos and so forth. But mikra din, you can be yotze even with a with a weekday shmon esrei.
Yeah, but the reason to move with is that why don't you, what you have to do a weekday shmon esrei for Meir, for Leil Shabbos when you miss mincha.
So Tosus is saying that this is a replacement. Why? Because the tefillah that you're davening now could have been a valid tefillah on Shabbos. They gave you a little break or something. They took away the tircha of 19 brachas.
Why did they take away the tircha when you were over?
No, I'm saying in general. Forget about you were over.
Okay.
Why is it that on Shabbos we recite 7 brachas?
Yeah,
so understand. The Gemara says that we alleviated you from your responsibility. But forget about tircha and all that. Mikra and din, you could be yotze with the tefillas chol. So if motzoi Shabbos you daven a tefillas tashlumin of chol, it replaces the chi of tefila that you originally had, because you could have been yotze your ikar mitzvah tefila with a tefillas chol. The other Rishonim say that they have no problem. The reason why you have to daven a tefillas tashlumin is because on Shabbos you only daven 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4, but you missed one of your tefillas. So the Tosfos needs to find this explanation. He stands on his head and does somersaults in the air because he thinks that the whole purpose of tashlumin is to replace the original tefillah. How can that apply in the case of a tefillah's chol to replace the tefillah's Shabbos? The other Rishonim weren't even bothered by the question to begin with, because tashlumin is simply a chiyuv tashlumin, and that I have because I didn't daven. He has a third nafkamina in the case of Misha Tov Velos Pal Shachris Mispal Mincha Shtayim. Okay? Now, Yecholim Lispal Shachris Bizman Mincha is Kuliyam Yachatzos. Okay? Oh, Zmachlokas Rishonim. I don't know why this should be relevant, but he says Zmachlokas Rishonim whether or not you can replace your tefillah down the line, or it's only in the ona smuchala. So why is this tzorchan lefia deri shonim b'miri tefillah no sefes balamala mokam achasera, and that's only besmicha, only if it's immediate. I don't know. This I don't know.
They're trying to get rid of the halacha of tashlumin. And basically, that's what they're saying. They're getting rid of tashlumin. If you can only do it by the same ona.
No, the immediate smucha ona, the next
one. Oh, that is not lachapim.
Right, but the Rishonim would say, no, you could do it even later on.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a, whose sheet is it? He has it all documented here on page Kuf Mem. Can you tell me, John, what you have there? Is it Hagos Maimonios? I'm trying to remember who the Rishonim would say that it's...
On which side of the page?
I think it's on the bottom right. Where's the... Oh, it's the Meiri. I'm sorry. The Meiri says... Aft fila acha sheshachacha yesh om she'en la tashlumin zman tefillah. The yesh omrim. Oh. So this is the second day of the Meiri, which he identifies as Rabbeinu Simcha. She'af li'achar zman yesh lo tashlumin. But honestly, I don't see why that depends on this chakira. He's assuming that if it's a tashlumin in the sense of ashlama, meaning it's not a, you know, it's not just a separate chova that comes yesh me'ayin, but rather it's a replacement. He assumes that's only in the ona smuch in the next thing. Whereas if you hold like the Meiri in the name of the Rabbeinu Simcha, then you don't need smichus to that tefillah, and that's because it's a separate chiyuv that you have to pay up. I'm not sure that I buy into that whole thesis. Now he has another case. Let's say ta velos pal. Ooh, I didn't realize that later. Sorry, ta velos pal mincha the erev Shabbos. So he misses a tefillas chol of 19 brachos, and now he's going to daven arvish shtayim. And the tashlumin is only 7 brachas, mentioning Shabbos, right. And he has the machlokas about this. He says the Magen Avraham is of the opinion that
you should say 19.
That paradoxically he can daven a tefillas chol and replace the what was the case again? He can daven a tefillas Shabbos, I'm sorry, and it can replace the tefillas chol. Whereas the Taz disagrees that afil b'dieved is lo yotze yedei chovetz tashlumin. Why? Because again, he needs to daven
19
brachos. We ain't tefillas Shabbos. You know, you can't have a tefillas Shabbos to replace the tefillas chol. So this too, he wants to suggest as part of this hakir. He has another hakir. We don't have time for this. If he left out she'el of the birkas hashonim, and instead he asked for rain in Shema Kolenu, is that a replacement for the ninth bracha, or is it a new din of tashlum? So that's
there.
What we accomplished today. We did many different sugyas, and
nobody holds that you should say 19 for a Leil Shabbos and also for Tfilas Yom. In my
what's the case? You forgot Mincha Erev Shabbos.
So should he say all 19 plus? It needs to say Tfilas Yom.
I don't think they advocate. Even though you're right, in Lomdus it should make sense conceptually, theoretically, but we don't dominate Tfilas Chol on Shabbos.
Yes.
If he did so b'dieved and he mentioned Shabbos, right, he's definitely Yotze. And how much more so in the case of Tashlumin? Yes. Now, what happens if he had Tashlumin for a Chol and he did the 19 brachos and he didn't mention Shabbos? That's an interesting question. I don't know if anyone would say that you're Yotze. I wouldn't be surprised if there is such a
Shabbos.